Hello, everybody. Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. This week, I wanted to return back to a couple episodes. Episode 138, we talked about storytelling and the value of small stories in the storytelling process, and that a lot of times people think about these larger, more grandiose topics. In some cases, that can cause a paralysis in the creative process, when in fact, oftentimes, it's the smaller stories, the more localized events, the more things that are deeply meaningful and personal to us that create more compelling photos, they create more compelling photographs because we have an intimate connection to the subject matter which we're creating. One of the things that came out of that podcast is I had two people ask me essentially the same question. That question had to do with, how do I think about categorizing or putting into buckets these small thematic stories? When I find these small moments, these small concepts that seemingly may be unrelated, but I'm moved or touched by the quality of light or the gesture that's occurring or the moment that's unfolding in front of me, how would I convey those through different methods of storytelling? Is there some way I could start to take these small intimate moments and convey them and create them into a single package? And one of the things I do is I went back and looked at my own work and kind of my own approach to that. And I came up with a couple of different ideas that I wanted to share with you all that I think might help you as you start to create and really dive deeper into these small, intimate storytelling moments rather than the big, grand ideas that we sometimes think of as photography that we get trapped by or believe may be the right way to do it. But like I said in episode 138, I think there's such power in these smaller stories. How do we dive into those and then create a cohesive body of work out of them? The first one is the story, what I call the story of the idea. And sometimes we just have an idea. We have a thing that comes up for us over and over again. It's a pondering, a wondering of what if would happen, a question of what would something look like, how would something come about. And we take a number of disparate ideas and eventually they start to hold thematically together. And the reason for that is oftentimes our curiosity around our creativity is rooted in an unknown discovery. There's something we don't understand. There's something we're curious about. And we're exploring what that idea is over and over and over again. And so things that don't necessarily seem related that we take as photographs, after a certain amount of time, may start to come together as a single cohesive idea. For example, if you have the idea or the notion of, say, curiosity, what does curiosity look like when you take a series of photographs? Let's take the idea of intimacy. How does intimacy convey itself in a photograph? There's the more obvious photographs of people holding hands or kissing or sitting side by side, but there might be a form of intimacy of ruffled sheets in a bed or a set of wine glasses or a fork in a plate, or there's some level of intimacy between two flowers, that somehow there's just this relationship that conveys this idea and we can start to pull those together. While more complicated to potentially edit and pull together, they're all around this single notion or idea. Another option is a thing I call the story of place. And in a second, we're going to talk about the story of identity. And I think of identity and place as separate, and I'll explain what I mean by that. The story of place is really about what is the experience of a actual location, the physical attributes of the location. So if you're going to photograph something like New York City, and you go photograph New York City and you're looking at Times Square and you're looking at the Brooklyn Bridge and you're looking at specific things that invoke a certain notion and a certain moment and a certain concept, and you're looking at things that invoke a certain reaction to the physical location. Oftentimes it might be traditional landmarks or it might be smaller, more intimate settings. Maybe you're in the Castro District in San Francisco, or you go into a certain part of Paris, or if you live in London, or if you're in the small town. I live in a very small town of Langley. It's got 1,200 people. First Street and Second Street are kind of the commercial district. So maybe I go in and I photograph a sense of the commercial identity of the businesses of Langley. So it doesn't have to be some big travel place, but it's really about, can I get a sense of the actual physical identity of the space? When I talk about the story of identity, that's a little bit deeper. That's an additional layer back of the onion. And do I start to get personality of space? Do I start to get a sense of who does this place or who does this person believe they are at multiple levels? So if you think about doing, say, portraiture or self-portraiture, you're not a single person with a single character. You don't have one way of being. You don't have a single emotion. You don't have a single thought. So how do you convey all of your different moods, all of those different things about yourself? Because your identity is rolled up in this multiplicity of different thoughts, different emotions, different ideas. A location is very much the same way. You could actually have a location of national park, a city, a road, if you're doing Route 66, whatever you're photographing has an identity as well. It has the what's on the surface and then what lies beneath it. What is it about its history? How is that history then shaped who it is today? Starting to pull all of those elements together to tell that story of who is this person beyond just what do they physically represent. That leads into one of my absolute favorite types of storytelling. And this is the one that I think is probably one of the more difficult to photograph. It's one of the more difficult to work with if you are a person who is a little bit more concrete in your approach to photography. But I call it the story of the subtext. As an example for this, if I did a photograph that had a gravestone, and then I had a set of ravens or crows in a photograph, and then I had ominous clouds on the horizon, and then I had kind of this bleak emptiness, it would start to create potentially in some people the subtext of death or something scary is approaching or there's some kind of evil lurking around because of these iconic symbols of what we believe culturally about negative space, ravens, gravestones. They can help create a certain imagery. It hallmarks back if you look at, say, The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock. By the time you get done watching that movie, you have a different association to birds. So if you know somebody has seen Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, you could tap into that subtext of that kind of creepy factor of what happens when the birds go crazy. So that subtext is an underpinning that sits beneath the surface. And one of the challenges photographically is, one, you have to understand that people may not pick up on that subtext right away. And oftentimes for a story of subtext to happen, it needs a lot of supporting imagery. And the imagery has to be so strong that somebody is going to lead themselves into the story you're hoping to. They're going to find themselves emotionally responding to the imagery in a way that they hadn't anticipated going in. But that comes from the very careful curation of images that are completely different. The last one is what I like to identify as the story of concept. And this is the one where if you have an idea that you're just exploring and you're trying to figure out, and the reason I separate it as different from the story of idea and the story of concept may sound very similar, but to me the concept is, with idea, it's really about more of the exploration. Where with concept is I have a direction and an idea of where I want to go, and it's really more about the execution. So from a concept standpoint, it's I know point A, and I know point B, and I know point C, and I know how I want to get there, and I have to photographically create those. And that may be just a series of small images, or I may have to dig through my own photo library and pull together a series of small images. Where the story of idea is, I'm in the exploration hoping to find the answer. And I think those are two different ways of creating the story. They're two different ways of sitting down to work a story. If you read books about authors who create and write all the time, sometimes they actually know the story as they're creating it. And other times, each chapter as it unfolds is informative to them of what's potentially going to happen. And oftentimes, they may not know the story when they start out. And so trying to draw the distinction. For me, I've just chosen the notion of idea being I don't know where I'm going and concept being I do know where I'm going. For other people, they may choose different words for that. But for me, that draws those apart. So if we look at these smaller storytelling methodologies, we have idea, place, identity, subtext, and concept. With those, we're able to come back in and then start to identify how do I pull images together that edit into those buckets. And one of the challenges here is because we're oftentimes dealing with small events in our life, we're dealing with small stories, intimate moments within our life, oftentimes images can fit in multiple buckets. So this is one of the things I suggest that you do is if you're going to start to think about how do I start to sequence and build bodies of work out of these small intimate moments of my life, these small identifiable moments of light, those small moments of gesture. Is one, you got to print some small prints, 4x6, 5x7, whatever you got to do. And then get yourself some colored dots. So just go to Staples, Office Depot, Home Depot, Amazon, Walmart, Target, someplace that sells office supplies. And they sell these colored dots that you would then use to basically put on manila folders or something like that. And they would just identify a categorization. On the back of the photograph, start to put down the dots of what buckets they could possibly fit in. Identify a colored dot for each one of your buckets. Now, you may come up with three or four other different kind of micro stories or micro concepts. You might want to start with mine. But if you have an image that might work for identity, and you might have the same image might work for subtext, on the back of that, you'd have two different color of dots. You can then start to see how your images pull together, how certain images might work in multiple different smaller stories. What can happen at that point is, one, you're going to start to see potentially what type of storyteller you are. Maybe you normally work at the subtext and all of your images sort of fall into that category, or maybe you're a person who works more with identity and those multiple layers that we pull apart, or maybe you're just more factual in your recording and you're a person of place. All of them are equally valuable. All of them are important, but understanding where you are in that process, I think, is a critical step in helping you move forward. Once you start to get those dots on the back, then you can start to see and start to group about, oh, these start to fit together, and then identify commonalities based on these are all subtext, and then within the sub-subtext, do these fall into macabre, happy, memory, whatever they fall into, or as identity, what layer of the onion is being peeled back so that you can see how the image would work. What I think will happen for a lot of you if you start to follow this process and start to follow this methodology, and this was the big surprising learning for me in this process, is that in episode 138, I talked about how it's these small stories that matter, and I always get paralyzed by these larger concepts and these bigger concepts in art, is that oftentimes what starts off as the small seed turns into the big oak tree, and that working from these smaller ideas and starting to understand how those ideas come about, how they're naturally being created, allows me to tend and cultivate those ideas and allows them to actually develop into bigger, stronger, wider concepts. And what I thought was just an intimate moment for me, just a photograph for me, ends up being a photograph that becomes powerful for other people. Because we are all built upon a similar framework. We're all built among a similar community. And if it's a little woo-woo to think that, so be it. That's the way my world operates. I think we are all connected. And if we can tap into a little bit of that subconscious connection, we find there is something about even the smallest ripple in the pond making that big wake. So by identifying what these small stories are and putting them in a way that I can start to understand how they pull together and how they might relate to one another, allows me to take some steps forward into creating bigger, larger bodies of work that I'm then able to take out and share with people in a much more significant way. I think it would be really valuable for you to take some time to go back into your own work and think about your own photography and how you're creating work and see, is there something that you're creating in your way of micro storytelling that is similar and unique? And like I say, I've given you kind of my five buckets. Maybe you have 10 buckets, maybe you have one bucket. It's not really the bucket and the label that's important as much as it is the actual act of looking across your body of work and seeing how it groups together. And for some of you, you may be taking work where you're like, well, you know, I'm a photographer and I take pictures of food, or I take portraits and I take pictures of things that are basically the repetition of the same thing over and over again. Approach that with some fresh eyes. Is there something about the way the images relate that you hadn't anticipated before or hadn't already pre-decided before? I think you might be surprised what you find when you allow a little bit more room for those images to breathe. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. I hope you get some great and amazing shots. There's some amazing, amazing things that are out there in the universe. And I think by taking a little bit of time to appreciate them and the people around you and the people who are willing to share your experience with photography, I think you'll find it to be a much more rewarding experience for you. And I think you'll find a lot more success behind the camera. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.